Well, Oliver came to me this morning, said he wanted to tell me that he got saved this past week. And I talked to him a little bit. I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 6. And I told him the story of my boys, both my boys, coming home from Awana on Sunday night. You could see the Lord dealing with them. I remember coming home, looking over at Matthew. You're looking over at a little kid, and the Holy Spirit immediately tells you. And I talked to him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it matters whether or not you come to the house of God. Amen. It matters whether or not you bring your kids to Sunday school, and it matters whether or not your kids are in Awana learning Bible verses. Because you get the word inside of them, and at the right time, it begins to bloom. So it's such a blessing. Yeah. It is great this morning to have Brother Jeff Shelton with us in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Been through a lot, and God has answered a lot of prayers. Very, very serious what Brother Jeff's been through. And Brother Jeff, we've been praying for you, and we're so glad to see you. I kid about, you know, you're going to have to get well or I'm going to have to find out where all your deer stands are. I'm glad you're getting well enough that I won't have to worry about that. Because I really do believe what God's doing, you'll be able to enjoy that. Amen. Got a card here I want to read from Jeff and his family. It says, "For kindness shown through the way you cared, your thoughtfulness and the blessings shared. Thank you and God bless you. We're so thankful for our church family. Thank you all for the continued prayers and support. Love, Jeff and Tanya Shelton." Now, folks, he's still going through it. He's got a ways to go. Like a lot of folks in our church, we've got a lot of people going through a lot of things. But church family does matter. And the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. And I want to tell you this before I read. We're going to read in Psalms chapter number 32. "That I am still humbled, and I am still honored to be able to walk behind this pulpit. When I look around this morning and I stand up here every Sunday, and I tell you what I'm doing, I'm looking for you. And if I said you, you put your name right there. Because I'm so excited when I come here and I'm walking back and forth and I'm praying for people to come to church. It matters. And I thank God just for letting me be a part of what he's doing." Just real quickly before we read, Brother Lamar Clark gave us a very good update on the building this past Wednesday night at the deacon's meeting. And, you know, folks, there's a lot of things going to have to take place between now and August, because in August we're going to have a steel building delivered out here. There's a lot of dirt's got to be moved. We're getting very close to coming to final signing things for our loan, and my understanding is the engineering has been submitted with a few revisions, and if you've ever worked with engineers, you know if you got two of them looking at it, you're going to have differences of opinion. And got a meeting with the architects this week to finalize the drawing, so praise God. Amen. A lot of work to be done, but by fall, you should see a building standing up right out here. Now, that don't mean it's going to be completed, but it will be on its way. We did update the funds that we've got for the building out there. I mean, we still need money, so, you know, it's not time to forget about it. God begins to do something in your heart and you feel like giving. You know, we really believe that God's going to continue to move, and God has done a lot. So we praise God and thank him for what he's doing. Now, none of this would be possible if it hadn't been for a man called Jesus. Our Lord and our Savior paved the way for us to have life. I want to read scripture going back in Psalms chapter number 32. This is a psalm of David. And the subtitle in my Bible calls it The Blessedness of Forgiveness. Now, if I were to title this message this morning with the way my heart's moving, it would be Blessings and Direction from Psalms 32. You know, when we read the Word of God, we do find many, many blessings. But something else we find that a lot of times people don't like, we find some direction. The reality of it is we need direction in our life. I want blessings. I want blessings. I want them in my life. I want them in my family's life. I want them in our church. Sometimes our direction keeps us from receiving all the blessings that we could. Let's read the scripture, chapter 32, verse 1. Starts off with this word, blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So many blessings from the Lord. And then he goes on and says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now the question, you know, what do we find in Psalms chapter number 32? What we find is a list of blessings, and we find some direction. I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 2 and read just three verses there, and then we'll go back and walk, Lord willing, we'll walk through this scripture. But in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 1, it says this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or a fair payment of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, looking back at this scripture, in the very first of this scripture, the first thing that we see in verse number 1 and verse number 2 is we find a pardon. A pardon. There is forgiveness for sins. There is covering for my sin. And there is no account kept of my sin. Now, what I like about this is I like the pardon, I like the forgiveness, I like the mercy, because I want the mercy of God on my life. I want everything that God has to offer, and I mentioned it earlier about the blood of Jesus. I believe the blood of Jesus will cover everything that you bring. You know, if you sometimes what happens with people in life, and people are all in all different places, and we need to understand this, is sometimes people begin to really question, does the blood of Jesus, does the forgiveness of God, is it great enough to cover my sin? But it is. It is. You know, the Bible teaches us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And what we need to understand, there's nothing we've ever done, there's no place that we've ever been that God didn't see. And he knows and he understands, and what he does is the reason he went to the cross is to make a way for every man. And I like what Brother Thomas prayed earlier. Brother Thomas, I do believe if you'd have been the only one, he'd have still come. You know, if I'd have been the only one, he'd have still come. But what I want you to believe, if you're listening to the scripture and you're struggling with it, is if you'd have been the only one, he'd have still come. Now, when I read this and I say we find a pardon in verse number one and verse number two, folks, that's something to rejoice in. Do you know that there are people right now all over the world trying to work their way into heaven that have no idea what it means to be forgiven of sin? There are churches all over the world, there are denominations that they don't talk about forgiveness of sin. They don't talk about the blood of Jesus, because if you want to go, you got to figure out the best way to work your way there. Praise God. We don't have to do that. I've been forgiven.
Amen.
It's a great feeling. You know what you find if you look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. Now, folks, I like the pardon, but what we find when we begin to look at this, we find conviction. If you look at what the scripture says here, he says his bones wax old through roaring all the day, and day and night, he said, thy hand was heavy upon me. Now, remember, this is a psalm of David. We know that David walked before the Lord, the scripture, the Bible says, with a perfect heart. But yet we also know that David had multiple times in his life that he stood before God and he was guilty of sin. You know, one thing that I'll tell you when I look at this scripture and that I like is I like the fact that I know the Lord well enough that he sends conviction my way. Some people absolutely don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want you to preach about it. And I've even had people make comments. They say things like this, because I've been involved in all different kinds of ministry. I've had people tell me, I don't want you preaching at my kids. You know why people don't want you preaching at the kids? Because they don't want you preaching to them. They don't want to live right. They don't want you to tell their kids they got to live right. But I want to tell you something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the conviction of God because it is evidence that I have been saved by the grace of God. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that he chastens those that he loves? Don't you want God to love you enough to correct you when you're wrong? The psalmist wrote here, my resistance was futile. The hand of God was heavy upon me. My tears have dried up through my resistance. Folks, I want to tell you something. Conviction is what's missing in America today. Conviction is what is needed, and conviction for the Christian should be desired. I want God to speak to me and let me know where I'm at and not let me be deceived and walk in the wrong way so that I can be deceiving myself while deceiving others. I want God to speak to me. It lets me know that he loves me. It lets me know that I matter to him. I'll tell you something about these children. I've got children. You've got children. Some of you right now wish you'd have done different with your children when you had an opportunity, because now they're so big you can't whoop them. I remember the last time I tried to whoop Luke. If it had been on YouTube, it had 1 million views. Do you know that there is an opportunity that comes? Sometimes we miss our opportunity. I want God to speak to me because I don't want to find myself in a place that people look at me. They say, if he's saved and God loves him, why is he in the shape that he's in? Do you know that your children know that you love them when you correct them? They may act like they don't like it. They may resist it. But I want to tell you something sometimes, and I've actually had my kids say this to me. Daddy, I had to ask you because my friends have been asking me and they've kept on at me. But I just want to let you know that I thank you for telling me no. I've had my kids say that to me. Why? Because there's so much pressure, there's so much wrong, there's so much going on in this world. You need to get some convictions about you to find a place to stand, because if you don't stand in your home, your God's not going to know what to do. And I want to tell you something. God's not changed just because we live in 2024. It's the same Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I was sitting there thinking just before I got up when they were singing, and I mean this. Folks, I'm humbled by the fact that God lets me serve here. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not somebody big. You ever run into a pastor that thought they were it? You know, they're the dictator, they're the big boss. Folks, I'm just a servant. And I sat there and I thought that, July, first week in July, be 10 years since I first preached in this church. And I sat there and I thought about it and I thought, you know, God, I still believe this book the exact same way. God, I still mean the things that I said before, and I want to ask you something in your relationship with God. Do you have enough conviction about you that you can say, I still stand for the things that I used to stand for? I still believe the Word of God the same way as it was when the preacher preached it, and I run down the aisle to get saved. God forbid that we don't have conviction. Now, when conviction comes, what should follow? If you look at verse number 5 and verse number 6, we find confession. Now, here's something to understand, folks. And I want to tell you this. As a pastor, I've counseled with a lot of people. And if you say something to me, you don't have to worry about me running down the road telling somebody else. But I tell you who it's between. It's between you and God. David, same psalmist that wrote this, you go with the 53rd psalm, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And a lot of times people think that things are their business when it's not. Let's get this straight. This is between the person and their God. That if God convicts your heart, what ought to happen is you find an altar where you can talk to him and make things right the way that they need to be. He said, I acknowledge my sin. My iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters shall they not come nigh unto him. A couple of verses over in the book of Psalms, one in chapter number 33 and verse number 18, another one in Psalms 51 and 17. I want to read these verses to you. Now, folks, I know, and I want you to understand something. We're not saved by our emotions. We're not saved because we cry rivers of tears. We're saved because the Holy Spirit of God convicts our heart. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, and we're saved. But I want to tell you something, there's nothing wrong with having tears on the altar. There's nothing wrong with crying, asking God forgiveness. There's nothing wrong with praying and crying out to God because you have what the Bible calls a broken heart and a contrite spirit. In Psalms 33 and 18, it says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In Psalms 51 and verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, you go over to the New Testament, you find a verse where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and slayest them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a mother hen doth her brood under her wings, and you would not. Do you know that there are times in our life that we ought not to walk, but we ought to run to the arms of Jesus? He said, I acknowledge my sin. You know, here's what we have to do. We must accept responsibility. So many times, people want to blame somebody else. And I know, and this is just a fact, the time that we're living in today, folks, there are people everywhere right now that because of their circumstances, they're going through very, very difficult times. But when it comes to a personal relationship with a living God, you're not going to say because and point to somebody else and stand before God and it be all right. Because what God wants is you. And what God wants is a personal relationship with you. And my children cannot be Christians or be saved because daddy was. They got to get saved for themselves. And you can't come because of somebody else. You say, well, I'm trying to be like so-and-so. I want to be like Jesus. I can remember going through Bible college. And sometimes it still comes up. I have people call, and it's like, you ever had anybody say, whose camp are you in? And I'll be honest with you, I've been in church my whole life. I've never heard that. I said, what are y'all talking about? And they said, do you follow so-and-so or do you follow so-and-so? Folks, I've been around people that if you didn't have a Scofield Bible and turn to the same page they did, you didn't have a Bible. Now, I want to tell you something. The Word of God has not changed. Okay? And I like the one I got. Mine's a Nelson, by the way, published 1977. But I've had people ask me, are you in? And they'll call out some preacher's name. You know, he's, you know, got this big following. And I say, you know, sometimes I really shock them on. I say, who's that? That's good. I'll tell you whose camp I'm in. I want to be like Jesus. I can't be there myself. I can't do it myself. And I'm thankful for the pardon. I'm thankful for the conviction. And sometimes even the preacher has to have some confession. You think, oh, he's preaching to us, he's rough. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is for me. There's times I've had to pray, and the times I don't, my wife reminds me that I need to pray. Confession is made to God. And can I say this, and I'm going to move on. I cannot be the man that I need to be in my home if I'm not where I need to be with God. I can't be the husband that I need to be. I can't be the dad that I need to be. I can't fulfill the purpose that God has for me. You know the Bible says this, and you say, well, preach, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a deacon. You know that the Bible says, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because whatever you are, if you're saved, you are the Lord's, and he wants you to be the best. If we read this, here's what I want us to understand. Confession, conviction. You know it's important to have a right relationship with God on a regular basis. Because if we look at what this says, it talks about the floods of great waters, that they shall not come nigh unto him. If you don't have a right relationship with God on the good days, what are you going to do on the bad days? You know, sometimes what happens is we wait till it's the darkest days of life till we decide to finally do business with God. You know, I believe God is merciful and he's loving, and it's just like this. It's just like the father of the prodigal son. I believe that every morning he went out on the front porch and he looked. He was looking for that boy, and even though that boy had done wrong and he had taken half of his inheritance, and even that boy was off living in sin, I believe that father every day was walking out there looking. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you wait till it's the darkest day till you decide to do business with God, it's going to seem like God is a million miles away. When in reality, you want him to be right with you. Now, let's look at the 7th and the 8th verse. We find pardon, conviction, confession. And then we find in the 7th and 8th verse, here's what God does. Oh, I'm so thankful for this. We find comfort and we find counsel. You know, he says here that thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Oh, praise God. That's the times that you come to him and you cry out to him. And I want to tell you something, a broken and a contrite heart is when you come to God and you come humble and he just pours out his spirit on you and wraps his arms around you. And then God begins to guide us. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. You know, I'm so thankful that God is still speaking. And he's speaking to me. Thankful that he's speaking through his word. That I can go to that hiding place and there's safety and there's rest. And there's grace and there's help. And I can just sit there humbly. You know, if you go through the word of God and you find, even though Elijah over there, after he had defeated the prophets of Baal, he ran off over there under a juniper tree. And God came and he comforted him. And then God began to guide him and to counsel him. A whole lot greater preacher than I've ever known. He got instruction. And he got teaching from God. And you know, here's why you need to come to the house of God. Folks, you don't need to come to the house of God to hear me. I'm nobody. But you need to come to the house of God so that Holy Spirit, which is only known by those who know Christ, can go from person to person, place to place, moving through the house, speaking to you, giving you direction as God squeezes your heart so that you would learn how to what? Receive that comfort. To receive that counsel. And to follow him. You know, we go through all that, and I look at it, and to me it's just wonderful. I just want all of it. I just want every verse we read. I want it. I want my Lord. I want him to be Lord of my life. I want him to be my guide. I want him to be the head of my home. I want him to be the head of every decision that I make. But we get to this place in the ninth verse, and we realize that's not true for everybody. Listen to what this says. And how it jumps out in the midst of all these blessings. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and with the bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord shall compass, mercy shall compass him about. Why is this verse in the midst of all of these blessings from God? You've ever heard the term stubborn as a mule? You know, many of us, we talk about children, we talk about loved ones, we talk about spreading the gospel, we talk about finding a pardon and conviction and confession and comfort and counsel from God, and you look at people and you say, why in the world won't they receive the goodness of God? Why won't they receive what God has offered them? A pardon's been offered. They just won't surrender. When the Holy Spirit convicts them, they turn away. They won't confess their sins. They're basically living in misery without comfort because they're stubborn. Stubborn. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. This is King Saul. Very, very stubborn. Says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, King Saul was like the horse. He had been given instruction, and the prophet told him what to do. A king, a man that was anointed, a man that, if you go back and read about him, stood head and shoulders above every other man, and the Spirit of God moved upon him. But he got in himself. And you find it on more than one occasion in Saul's life where Saul made decisions where he would not wait on God, he wouldn't follow God, he wouldn't listen to the instruction that's given, and he get down rather than receiving verse 1 through 8, you come to verse 9 and you find Saul. And what did Saul say when he was told not to take of the spoils and he brought them back? His response back to the prophet was this: I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You come over to the New Testament, the book of Acts. What did the apostles say? They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But because of his stubbornness, King Saul was rejected from being king. You know, I mentioned earlier about conviction. Let me tell you why I want conviction, because I don't want to be like King Saul. You know, that King Saul got to the point that because he didn't listen to the voice of God and he didn't listen to the prophet of God, he no longer heard from God. Oh Lord, I don't want that. You know, sometimes we worried about this and we worried about that and we worry about what job we're going to have and we worry about finances, we worry about health. Let me tell you something worse is when God pulls back from you and you don't hear his voice. It don't matter what place you're in. It don't matter what you have. I always want to be able to hear and receive the voice of God. But King Saul got to the point that he no longer heard from God. And because he no longer heard from God, he turned to witchcraft. Do you know, I want to tell you something, folks. I serve a living God. He's the greatest of the great. He's the creator of all things. I don't need to get my palm read. I don't need tarot cards, and God forbid that I ever go to a Ouija board. That stuff's evil. If you've got it, get it out of your house, denounce it. And if you want scripture for that, see me privately after. I'll give you plenty of it. Saul was no longer visited from God. You say, oh, I don't want to hear that convicting stuff. Really? Double it up on me, Lord. David prayed. He said, search me, O God, and know me, and try me, and know my reins, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why? I don't want to be deceived and be stubborn. Not listening to the voice of reason. Not listening to the instructions given. Now think about this, and I think every one of us here can say something like this. Have you ever looked at anybody and you try to talk to them and you say, I've been there? How about this? That will hurt you. You know, we talk about it with the little babies, and I've heard people say, oh, let that baby stick its hand on that oven. It won't do it but one time. I'll tell you something. If that's my baby, I'll burn myself or I'll let the baby get burnt. It's the baby, but I'll tell you, it don't matter if they're your children, if they're your loved ones. They could be 60 and they still mama's baby. That will hurt you. How many times have you ever said, I don't want you to suffer like I did? I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. And sometimes it even gets to this. You can say, do you see these scars? These scars are from the things that I did that I'm trying to keep you from. That's why this verse is so important. He said, be not as the horse whose mouth must be healed with the bits. You know, the reality of it is, as I preach this to you, and you can probably right now going through your mind, you're thinking of somebody who's stubborn. Somebody you're burdened for, somebody you care for, somebody who's so hard-headed and you think, oh, I wish I could help them. I wish I could get them to understand. I wish I could teach them. And sometimes it's unfortunate but true, we come through it and it turns out, you know what, exactly like you said it was going to. But can I tell you something, Christians? There's no room or place for us to say, I told you so. No place. Do you know why? Because once you've done your best and you've tried and you've cared for them and you've taught them and they don't listen, when they get to it, what God's called us to is a place of restoration and comfort to restore them to the right place. I told you so is not going to do the work. You know why? Because it's not against you that they've sinned. It's against God. And the ultimate goal of when we're working with someone who's stubborn as a mule or as the horse is to restore them to a right place and a right relationship with God. I told you so, never has to be said. 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 12 says, O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. You see, the stubborn are going to be dealt with because they're going to find their own demise. They're going to suffer because it's ultimate. And sometimes in the life of a person that's saved, God simply says, like he did with Saul, he says, that's enough. I heard a preacher preach a message one time, and I'm going to have to hurry. I'm going to get done here in just a minute. Down at a little country church down in Austell. God was dealing with me about some things at the time, and I was struggling. And he preached a message, when God hides his face. You know what a terrible place for a person that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is? It's for you to know the Lord and know you ought to be following the Lord, but you're in a place similar to Saul, but you can't communicate with God because God has hidden his face from you. He's not shining on you. You don't feel his presence like you did at one time. And you know, when I heard that message, it pricked me to my heart, and I said, God, help me get back to the place. Like David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy. Thy salvation. And here's the goodness. Verse 10 and 11. Oh, I like this. We find a summary promise. Now we know that the Bible says and teaches that the wicked will reap what they sow. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Now, rather than he that trusts in the Lord, here's what I want you to do. If you got a pen, write your name down right there. It don't matter what you've done or where you've been. God's speaking to somebody this morning to let you know that regardless of where you stand, his arms are still wide open. It says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. All ye that are upright in heart. Oh, I love to come into the house of the Lord like I did this morning. And you look around and people say, oh, I'm so glad to be in church. I feel the Lord already. God's going to move in this place. And yes, he does. And I want to tell you something, church. Thank God for that. That's what I want. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff if you would come get ready with a song. Here's the conclusion. What's stubbornness? It's simply not agreeing with God. Has nothing to do with me or what I think or what somebody else thinks. You get enough of that. But here's what I want you to understand you can't run from. You don't want to run from is a convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When God speaks to your heart and he starts fingering around inside and it makes you uncomfortable, rather than running from God, you ought to rejoice and be exceeding glad that God loves you enough that he has not turned your heart loose. What will our stubbornness do to us? Oh, you may get to where you think you want to go, but when you get there, you won't like the outcome. Now, what God's doing this morning is he's calling somebody, and here's what he's saying. He said, you're missing the blessings, the pardon. You ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can receive forgiveness of sins. The comfort. I can't do it by myself. I'm struggling. I got this issue and I got that issue. Jesus said, when I leave, I'll send you the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He'll guide you and lead you in all things. It's when you come over the wings of the Lord and he wraps himself around you. Those blessings. That guidance. But in order for any of this to work for you, you got to come to him. And you got to accept him. As you rise to your feet, church, you can pray right where you're at, and God hears you. You may already be praying. You may be praying for somebody else. But there's nothing like coming to an altar with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and just pouring it out before God. Here's what I want you to understand. It's between you and it's between him. And if you'd like to come, as Brother Jeff said,